I hope that hearing those things, seeing those things is an encouragement to you of a variety of places where we have had the opportunity to partner with many for the sake of the gospel. If you'd take your Bibles for just a few minutes and turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John, this short epistle at the very end of the New Testament. And we're going to look for a few moments here together tonight. 3 John, and we'll read much of this beginning in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. God, help us as we look at these words for just a few moments. I pray that you would help us to see truth here, and that we, as we see the truth of your word, that we would be motivated to grow and to change by the power of your Spirit. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. In the few minutes we have together tonight looking at 3 John, I think it would be helpful for us if we took a moment and looked at several of the characters that are here in this letter. And the first of these characters is Gaius. Gaius, what does the text tell us about this man that we know very little about? Very common name. Some say just as common in English as John or James or Matthew or something like that. Some English name. Very common name in those days. Someone that we know very little about. There are other Gaiuses mentioned in the New Testament. There's no evidence that he's one of them. He's the same as one of those other mentions. We don't know much about this man, but we do know a few things from this text. The first is that he was loved by John the Apostle. He was loved. There are three times in those first five verses where John calls him beloved. He was a brother of John the Apostle, one who was partnering with him because of their common faith. And there was much love there from John to Gaius. But he was also faithful. He was loved and he was faithful. Verse 5 says that it is a faithful thing that you do in your efforts for these brothers. He was doing something. He was giving effort to something that displayed that he was a person of faith. John was saying that the way that Gaius was living toward these brothers here in this mentioned in this letter, that demonstrated that Gaius was a man of faith. That faith that he claimed to believe was genuine. So he was living in a way that was faithful to the truth that he claimed. Tied to his faithfulness, we also see that he was walking in the truth. In verse 3, the brothers, who we'll take a moment to look at in just a moment, gave testimony to John that Gaius walked in the truth. Verse 4 is one that often we as parents might use. Any parent who looks back and is grateful for what God has done in the lives of their children, and they look back and they say, yes, my children are walking in the truth, and that brings me joy. That's usually the context we think of this in. But here specifically, as we look at what John is saying, he's saying, Gaius walked in truth. And it brings me joy when my children, Gaius being one of them, apparently his child in the faith, his spiritual son. We don't know if John led him to Christ, but he was a follower of John as John followed Christ. So he's saying, I have great joy because my son Gaius is living in a way that give evidence to the fact that he is a follower of Jesus Christ. That brought him great joy. And we'll look specifically at how he was living that gave evidence that he was a follower of Christ. We'll look at that in just a moment. So that is Gaius. He was loved. He was faithful. He walked in the truth. And then we contrast Gaius with Diotrephes. We see him in the second part of this letter. What does the text tell us about this man? The first thing we see about this individual is that he liked to put himself first. He was selfish. What an introduction we have to this man. And we see this selfishness continue to be fleshed out as we hear more about him. He was not only selfish, but he rejected authority, including John's apostolic authority. Like, think about that for just a minute. The apostle John, you might be like, you know, rejecting someone's authority. We all struggle with authority. You know, the authority of my parents, the authority of my boss. This was not just a parent or a boss. This was the apostle John, for goodness sake. And he rejected his authority. Verse 9 says that Diotrephes does not acknowledge our authority. He flips his nose at authority, even the authority of the apostle John. But not only that, he spreads wicked lies. He tells things that are untrue for his own advancement of his own selfish causes. He was talking, verse 10 says, wicked nonsense against us. What a guy this guy is. And he wasn't just talking wicked nonsense against us. He takes it a step further, because the next thing that we see about this man, Diotrephes, is that he was practicing unbiblical church discipline. He was using his position to kick people out of the church that disagreed with him. What a guy. He refuses to welcome the brothers, and he also stops those who want to, and he puts them out of the church. If you're not heading my way, then it's the highway, is the way he was acting. He was using the final step of church discipline as a means to accomplish his own selfish desires, to get what he wanted. What a contrast we see between Gaius and Diotrephes. One who was loved, he was faithful, he was walking in the truth, and the other who was full of himself and acting in ways to get what he wanted, not concerned, apparently, about anything more than that. So there we have Gaius, we have Diotrephes, but we also have the brothers that are mentioned multiple times in this short little letter. Who were these brothers? What does the text tell us about them? We see here in verses 3 and 6 that they came and they testified to John and to the church that Gaius was walking in the truth. They came to John and to others in the church and they said, this dude, he is the real deal. The faith that he claims is genuine because we've seen it in his own life. We've seen it in the way he's lived out his life towards us. He has ministered to us well. He's not putting on a show. His faith is real. They did this. They testified of the faith of Gaius. They also were travelers. We see that. And verse 6 tells us that they were on their journey. And then verse 7 tells us that they had gone out. They were individuals that had apparently been sent out for some cause, for some task. And they were travelers for the sake of the name of Christ. They had gone out, verse 7 tells us, for the sake of the name. That name was the name of Jesus. In John's gospel, several times he writes of believing in the name of Jesus, John 1:12 and 3:18. They were sent out as representatives of the heavenly kingdom. They were heralds of King Jesus, in whose name they preached forgiveness of sins and they baptized those who followed Christ. They also went out for the sake of the name under apostolic authority. Remember, we just mentioned that in verse 9, John says that Diotrephes did not acknowledge our authority. He refused to welcome these brothers. He refused to welcome those that John had gone out under the authority even of the Apostle John. And they refused to recognize them. He refused to recognize these men who had gone out under apostolic authority to do this task. There we have it. Gaius, the one who was faithful. Diotrephes, the one who was selfish. And the brothers, those who'd gone out for the sake of the name of Christ under apostolic authority to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are the main characters of this story, of this letter that we have here. But there's more. There's more for us to consider than just these characters and what we can learn from them from this text. We want to consider very briefly John's commendation of and his encouragement to Gaius. And I hope that these will be an encouragement to our hearts, even as we consider how we ought to act towards those who've gone out for the sake of the name. First of all, John's commendation of Gaius. John commends Gaius for his previous service to these brothers, to these partners in the gospel. In verse 5, he says that it's a faithful thing that you do in all your efforts for these brothers. Apparently, in the past, Gaius had displayed care. He had displayed hospitality to those who'd gone out for the sake of the name and were traveling through their town. And he displayed care and hospitality toward them. And it was in this specific way that John was referring to that he says, there's evidence that you walk in truth because of how you're receiving those, even strangers, people you did not know who'd gone out for the sake of the name and you'd opened your homes, you'd been hospitable to them, you'd cared for their needs. You did this before. And John commends Gaius for the way that he was living, the way that he was evidencing that he walked in truth. His effort to receive and to care for these brothers who went out proclaiming the message of the gospel, it was compelling evidence of genuine belief in that gospel. So that's John's commendation of Gaius. And then he gives him encouragement. In verses 6 through 8, we find his encouragement. It seems that these brothers were again in need of assistance. They were out traveling again. And John says this, you will do well to send them on a journey in the manner worthy of God. And then he says in verse 8, we ought to support people like these. Let's consider these words from John. He said, you would do well to send them on their journey. That's the first thing he said. You'd do well to send them on their journey. This implies hospitality. This implies that you had received them into your homes and into your lives and you had cared for them while they were there. Consider traveling in those days. There was nobody that could say, I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night, because that wasn't a thing. Travel was hard. Travel was slow. Travel was often dangerous. And travel would be impossible without hospitality of others to receive you into their homes and show care and concern for you. And that's what was happening here. And that's what John was encouraging Gaius to continue in. And then he says to send them on their journey. And even that language, as we think about that, there was no GPS. I love a GPS, but I love a map even more than GPS many times. I love to open up a paper map and find my way. That's really cool. They didn't have paper maps they could just open up and streets they could follow and decide which way was the best way. To send them on their way even carries the idea of, okay, we have been hospitable to you and then we're going to help you go wherever it is you're going. We're going to come alongside you and we're going to walk that journey with you. Paul is leaving tomorrow. I'm going to take, is it a direct flight or is it a connection? It's a connection. I'm going to fly that first flight with Paul to make sure he gets back to Salt Lake and to Logan. I'm not going to do that. But that's the idea. Like, I'm going to go along with you to help you begin your journey so that we can show care for you, so we can make sure that you have all your needs met as you're heading to the next place that you're going. Send them on their journey. It implies hospitality. It implies intentional effort. It implies lots of effort on the part of the one who's showing the hospitality. And he says, how are you supposed to send them on their journey? In a manner worthy of God. In a manner worthy of God. How does God act towards us? Is he stingy? Does he just give us a little bit? No. He's generous. He's rich towards us. He's sacrificial towards us. He gives to us abundantly. And those are the kinds of ways that our hospitality, our sending them on their journey, our care for those who go out for the sake of the name, that's how it should be characterized. Andy Johnson, in his little book, Missions, when the Local Church Goes Global, says this regarding this passage. Be ready to care for your workers extravagantly, even beyond what seems reasonable. That's a pretty bold statement. Be ready to do that in a manner worthy of God Himself. This will show not only that we value them as an individual, but also that we supremely value the great gospel they carry. Be ready to care for your workers extravagantly, even beyond what seems reasonable, because they are heralds of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is worth it. So send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. And then in verse 8, he says, support people like these. Do all you can to care for their needs. Don't hold anything back. Partner with them. If they have needs, meet them. Look to help them in ways that advance their gospel purposes. Go out of your way to be intentional to support them. And he says this amazing truth after that. Because when we do that, we are partnering with them in their gospel work. That's what he says in verse 8. Supporting those who go out for the sake of the name in these kinds of ways, it's not just an ancillary thing we do. In doing so, we are actually partnering with them in their work of the gospel. It's not just a passive thing, but it is us actively participating with them in gospel work. When we care for them, when we show support, when we show hospitality. Generous hospitality, care, and support for those who have gone out for the sake of the name of Christ makes us partners in their gospel endeavors. Generous hospitality, care, and support for those who have gone out for the sake of the name of Christ makes us partners in all that they're doing for the sake of the gospel. And I've been encouraged. I've seen that here among our body so many ways and so many times. And to you, I would say, keep it up. Step it up. Continue on in this. But not only that, generous hospitality, care, and support for gospel partners who've gone out for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ, it's actually evidence that we are people who walk in truth. Just like John said of Gaius. And I thank God for the many examples that we see in our body of generous, rich, sacrificial, abundant care towards those who've gone out from this place for the sake of the name. And just as John encouraged Gaius, I encourage us, Hampton Park Baptist Church, continue, grow in and abound in your, in our hospitality, in our care, in our support of our gospel partners. Because when we do that, it is an active part of seeing the gospel advanced among the nations, even in places we will never go, because of our care, support, and hospitality towards those who have gone out for the sake of the name. God, please use our body in these kinds of ways to support, to be hospitable, to show care towards those who've gone from this place for your name's sake. And we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.